On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. If you're more of a fanatical fashionista, then Lootware, our monthly wearables and accessory subscription, will fill your closet with cult classics and your favorite franchises. And if you want to get fancy, get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. Ready your wands, pre-measure your magic potions, and get ready for November's enchanting theme, Magical. We've cast a powerful ancient spell to deliver you this 100% exclusive crate featuring bewitching items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Big Trouble in Little China and more. Ooh, that's a good one. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when it's cut off, when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. It's done. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate.com/boogie and enter code boogie to save $3 off any new subscription today. Hell yeah!
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. It's freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
I don't know. It was, No, as long as like just a fuzzy arm dicking around with a camera.
No.
Dicking around with a field camera.
This was like the seven best ones of the last year.
Oh, I didn't see it. Oh, it was like a
drone one of one running.
It was the greatest hits.
Yeah, it was the greatest hits.
Bigfoot's greatest hits.
Pretty good.
Well, fucking saddle on in here, Dave.
Have we started?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I didn't.
I love tricking you.
That always sounds like the same joke rehashed, but it's always...
No, I always try to catch you in the middle of saying something dumb. Not dumb, but you know, pertinent to the... You say, like, Dave's talking about Bigfoot again, but yet I'm also... I want to believe, but I'm not convinced. Hey, everybody, it's the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave, and this is the episode where we asked you last week, which as we record it is now, to send us questions on Twitter, and we would answer them for this episode. Because Dave just got back to town. I'm leaving town. We got to stockpile some of these up. So this should be coming out a week after the election.
We're Goons Day prepping.
Goons Day?
It's the Doomsday?
Goons Day?
We're a couple goons.
I like it. I didn't laugh, but I like it.
Goons Day prepping.
I like it. I like what happened. We're still, if you listen to last week's episode, we still... Literally got high on Dave's supply. Dave just got back a few hours ago from trimming weed in an undisclosed location in Northern California, and we smoked it.
Mm-hmm. It works.
Yep. Well, this batch works.
Also, if anybody wants to buy some weed,
don't say
I'm
that.
Gonna
stop talking.
What?
Don't say that.
No, I want to sell people weed.
Don't say that, because that's real.
Oh, okay.
That when you sober up, this would be the part that you can't. Nobody can see you winking. Nobody can see you winking, Dave. And the fact that you winked at the microphone and not me was just—it's just shit. Just turn it off now. This one's going to hell. This one's going. Ugh, this is a bad idea all around.
I'm okay.
You winked at the microphone. You know, Rachel decided, beside the creepiest thing, is you know how you wink, you use, like, it's obviously wink is one eye, but you try to, like, lean that side of your face to somebody? What if you do that, but use the far away eye, like, and it just looks like you're about to, like, tip over from a stroke.
Got that Bell's palsy.
Yeah, yeah. You, like, lean in for a wink, but then wink with your far eye.
Oh, man.
And, I'm going to talk about top five funniest things this year is winking with your far eye.
I guess
winking with your far eye sounds like something about anal sex.
Sounds like a Nick Cave song.
I could not name. That could be a real Nick Cave song.
It could be.
Yeah. As I'm at Lollapalooza in 1995. This guy's old and a bummer. I'm not going to watch this shit. 18, I want to party. This guy's a drip.
What's this guy talking about?
Yeah, it's moody. It's moody.
What's
moody
his problem?
Yeah. It's moody tool.
Oh, man, I got my puppy fix in this week.
Sounds weird.
I played with this. There was a puppy up at the pot farm.
Yeah.
And I say puppy because he's 4 months old. I almost said 4 months, years old.
4 months old. That's accurate. That's a great reason to say puppy. Is it also a dog? Then that would even be even the best. That would be the best way to use the term puppy.
No, my point is, on paper, he was a puppy, but he was some sort of like Rottweiler mix.
Not house trained yet.
He was gigantic. He was big.
Yeah.
He was literally 40 pounds, 50 pounds, but like 4 months old. Mm-hmm. So he had the brain of a puppy. First of all, a full-grown dog.
Large, but also threatening.
Yeah. A full-grown dog, and I love dogs, but they're stupid. Most dogs are dumb as shit. But a puppy who's like, hey, what's this? He was just you could just see it on his face. Like, what's this? Can I eat this? Nope. What's that? Just well, surveying the whole room.
I was like, oh, this dog's smart because it can do five things. Think of all the things you do every day, and this dog can do five.
Yeah.
Five things, one of them not being, don't shit in my house.
Look how smart he is.
Or figure out a place to shit that isn't where I have to pick it up. But the other five things, he gets the newspaper at the end of the driveway. If it also dropped the newspaper on you and then was like bark like print is dead, like then what a smart animal. But this thing, like, oh, this stick is mushy and just brings it back to you. Dumb fucking animals.
Oh man. That's so funny.
Anyway.
But this dog, he was a dumb puppy. Like, he was dumb as shit and but like a puppy should be, just, hey, I don't know nothing. But he was big and dangerous. Like, he was rough. Like, he'd come up and just put his paw right on your nose.
Doesn't know his own strength.
Yeah.
Doesn't know his size yet.
Yeah. And but it was funny, man. It was a beautiful dog. And just on a pot farm. What a great life for a dog. To be just
dog,
on a
dog
giant...
doesn't know it's a pot farm.
I know, but it's a farm.
Again, that's a smart thing. Not a dog going like, see, well, this is also, it's medicinal, so it helps people. Like, I understand, like, it's a lot of recreation disguised as medicinal.
Man, that's funny. But he was just, he didn't know his own strength. And, man, I roughhoused with him. Like, I really gave it to him.
Yeah.
Like, I noogied him.
Got your puppy fever fixed because you gave it to him.
But yeah, it was good. It was good.
Winked at him from your far eye.
But it made, like, I enjoyed it, man. We talked a little bit about it last week, but on the last episode. But I think I want to do more of that. I want to be like a migrant worker.
Don't say migrant.
Well, no, you know what I mean.
No,
is
I
that,
don't.
Is that,
I don't.
Is that offensive? Migrant?
Yes.
Well, why is that?
Because you're from here. You're not migrating from anywhere.
Okay, that's true. But
you want to be a farmer.
No, I want to.
Because your family's lives depend on it. That's what you want to be. Don't say migrant worker.
My point is I want to wander around. I want to go to...
Yeah, that's not what migrant workers are like. You know what? I want to do is I want to risk mine and my family's life sneaking across the border so I can wander around a little bit.
I meant...
What did we have to edit out from the beginning of this one, too?
The concept of working on the pot farm.
Being
one
a farmer. You want to be a farmer.
I don't want to be a farmer. I don't want to just have a farm. One week I want to go pick marijuana.
Next week
I want to pick apples.
You want to also know you could be kicked out of the country at any moment.
I just think it's nice variety. It's good variety.
You want to work.
I want to work, but like not at the same place. I want to...
On farms. But different farms.
Mm-hmm.
You still want to be a farmer.
Okay.
You want to be a farm hand.
Yeah.
A farm hand.
Yeah.
A rancher would be like what you want to do, but with animals instead of vegetables.
How low is my self-esteem where that's literally what I'm thinking, like, oh, man, that's something I could get into.
Depths unexplored by most of the listeners. That's how low. I would say that's how low.
I really thought, like, well, I'm in L.A. I could just come up, there's a lot of agriculture in California.
That's not an unadmirable skill.
No, I know, but...
But don't, I would choose something other than migrant worker.
But I am being serious. I'm not mocking them. I'm seriously, like, every weekend...
You'd like to be a traveling farmhand.
I want
to
be a traveling farmhand.
But migrant specifically means they came from somewhere else to work.
I didn't mean that part. And I didn't mean it offensive.
Let me also take a bit. Maybe
I meant the things that those people do, those meaning not in the derogatory sense, but I want to do that. The things migrant workers do. I want to wander and I want to pick apples. And I'm being sincere. I literally want to do that.
Dave and his golden shovel. Let's get this is a good one. A lot of people are responding right now, and thank you for that. Let's get into some of these Twitter questions.
Sure. And, did you set that up? Have we talked about what we're doing?
I thought I did. I thought I said I asked. Okay. I'm asking Twitter, like, send us questions of what you want to have. We'll try and give you some short answers.
That's my bad because half of what you said, I'm not listening.
No, as am I. That's how it works with this. We got to like set up our own arguments. Mm-hmm. But I think so it's actually it's November 8th. We recorded this one after the November 8th episode. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we're going to try and act like, oh, no, put up the illusion that it's actually November 15th.
I understand.
15th. No, that's right. Oh, but guys, don't remember. Don't remember tonight. Tonight I'll be playing. We forgot to do promos for last week.
I tried to get you some, but you're like, my promo's America.
All right. Yeah, I guess I fucked that one up. Anyway, so these are the questions you've been asking on the night of the election eve. So let's get in. Let's start with the first one that's up right now. Rob Dennis says, Dave, what's your height and weight? It's not a lie. Dennis wants to know your height and weight, Dave. Your height and your current. I'm assuming current.
Well, it does fluctuate quite violently.
Maybe that's why he wants to know right now.
I'm 5'9".
5'9".
And if I had to guess, I'd say right now I'm a nice 240.
5'9", 240 at Rob Dennis.
I'm FBGM. A thick boy.
FBGM means...
I got down to 205 last summer.
But 205, was that vegan summer?
What that means is I've gained 35 pounds in a year.
You're all right, man.
No, it was two summers ago.
That was vegan summer. Hawaiian vegan summer. Mm-hmm.
But I'm still down from my start weight. So, to me, I'm still turning a profit. We're still in business.
Well, you're still moving weight.
Yeah, I'm moving weight.
Pot term.
Yeah. I started at like 260 on that thing.
Got
all the way down to 205.
I'm
240.
I don't want this to sound a bad way. Like, but when you lost weight, like, you don't ever look like a fat guy.
Wow. Thank you, Kyle.
You look like a dude that just like you're built. You're a built dude,
mm-hmm.
But it's not like we mentioned the last one. You got a gut, but also you got fucking muscles around it. You're not just like a skinny guy that really fucked it up.
Yeah. No, I am functional. We talked about that last week. I'm really strong.
You know what I could today?
Guess what I could bench press in my prime? I played a little college football.
I have no frame of reference for this, by the way.
Okay, you're considered. I once heard somebody say this, like when I was playing football, like your average strength or you're considered strong, which is a good adjective.
Mm-hmm.
If you can bench your weight, what do you weigh?
I'm not
gonna
strong.
Guess weight too. By the way,
I'm
gonna
strong.
Say you weigh 171.
I hit 175 a few days ago.
Yeah, I'm good at guessing weight. If you could bench 175, you're considered strong.
There's not a fucking chance.
In my prime, I weighed 190.
How many Daves could you bench?
190? Bench 340.
That's like...
It's pretty strong.
How much did you bench?
340. Almost
that's
double my
almost,
weight. Yeah,
almost
double
two Daves.
Been,
you could
been,
almost
what,
do two Daves.
380. Yeah.
Weighed 193. Almost two Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. That's
Dave and three quarters.
And then I got a nut hernia. And now I can't lift heavy stuff no more.
Wait, did you have the one where your guts fell into your scrotum?
Yes.
I had that one too.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Not from lifting. Mm. Coughing too much after ripping tubes.
What do you mean ripping tubes?
Smoking bongs.
Oh, okay.
I had a bit
you
of
got a nut hernia from smoking?
Yeah, like smoking? I think I was a heavy smoker. And I always smoke the shittiest cigarettes. These all exist in bits that I want to like refurbish, so I won't go running the bit. But I had a horrible smoker's cough, and we would always just smoke bongs. I want to buy a bong now. I'm going to be 40 in a month and a half, and I'm like, I want to smoke a bong again.
Yeah,
and just the comfort of my life. I'm like, oh, and I could just buy one and not have it be this sacred talisman of the group of friends, like. May we use the bong weed holder? Because you know you have to like shred so much weed when you're doing bong rips. Like, is this a special occasion to get fucked up on a bong? And I just want to have it at my disposal. And I coughed so much after ripping a bong on top of being a chain smoker that I knew something busted inside me. And then slowly my nutsack got bigger.
Yeah, that after surgery. After I did you have the surgery?
Yeah, I had surgery.
After the surgery, oh my God, my scrotum was huge.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Mine was huge because it's the intestine. Like, it breaks through the abdominal muscles. Mm-hmm. And then the intestine, like, descent like a snake coiling up for winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
In your scrote.
Yeah. Oh, it was very painful. How long did you go between the injury and the surgery?
Oh, I don't even know. It took me a while. Mm-hmm. It's in the joke, too, about, like, how long. Where, like, you don't ever say anything. Like, my balls are fine. Like, to get to the point, like, and I was under my mom's insurance. My parents' insurance. I was still living at home. Because mm-hmm. So I had to ask them, like, I got to go to the doctor. And it would never be a non. I was like, mm-hmm. Why? Why? What's wrong? What's wrong? Like, because my nuts are all fucked up, Mom.
Yeah.
So just take me there. Stop asking questions.
Yeah.
My nuts are fucked up.
My dad picked me up from my surgery. This was when I was living in Atlanta. And I don't cuss around my dad. Mm-hmm. And I was still under the anesthesia. And they didn't keep me overnight, but it was, what do they call that, outpatient?
Yeah.
But they put me under. They put me under. And my dad picked me up, and I just went, man, my fucking balls hurt. To my dad, who I've never cussed in front of.
Bill and Ted and your dad.
And he was just like, well, okay, let's get you home there, buddy.
It's the drugs talking. You bet it is, Dad.
But yeah, like for those for the fellas that are wondering what that pain feels like, it's not like getting. Or I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for you. But I had the pain for about 3 months before I got operated mm-hmm. on. And instead of someone kicking you in the balls, like you and Ryan did in the hotel room in Hawaii that time,
right,
to me,
that should come up.
Imagine, you know how like somebody poke you in the chest.
Yeah.
You know, when they're trying to make a point, which, by the way, I never like that. Don't touch me.
No. Well, that's a fighting move.
But imagine someone just poking you with their finger in your testicle, but not repeatedly. They do it once and then hold it there.
Yeah.
Just that pressure, just a finger point pressure onto the testicle.
I would equate it like it's because the pain is coming from something you're doing internally. It's not like if somebody's kicking you, if it's like something's inside kicking your balls outward. It's like if a, like, you know how if you hear a speaker that's blowing, like say you're in a car and you know how a speaker sounds and bass is hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's pressure pushing something outward.
Yeah.
And then if it's blowing, it's just like brr, brr, and how ooh. Rough that pressure seems.
Yeah.
On, that's what it seemed like to me.
Ooh.
Like you cough. And you could feel it in your body when you cough, but you cough and you have a hernia and it's a blown speaker in your nut stack, just like just uncomfortably vibrating in a wrong way.
Interesting.
Anyway, Dave's height and weight.
5'9", 240.
You got it.
I hope he's not making a skin suit.
Well, it's going to take a lot of hookers. You're going to get sent up for a while, given the count you need for a Dave Stone skin suit. let's get something pertinent to the podcast. Any strong opinions? This is coming from Natty Schramm at Total Natty Move on Twitter. Any strong opinions on regional styles of barbecue sauce? Haven't heard all the eps yet. Sorry if it's already come up. I believe it has, but what's the short answer on regional barbecue sauce, Dave?
Not a fan of the I get the Eastern and Western Carolina. Carolina has two styles of barbecue sauce. A lot of people like
this isn't going to be the short answer.
The vinegar. All right. I want to say... Oh, that's funny.
A1's delicious. Moving on.
I want to say Eastern Carolina is more of a vinegar, a thin vinegar and black pepper based. Western Carolina is a almost a mustard. Well, not almost, but is a mustard based mm-hmm. sauce. A lot of people, when they talk about Carolina barbecue sauce, most of them are referring to the watery, vinegar, peppery sauce, which I don't dislike, but it's definitely not my favorite. I'm more of a basically a Georgia barbecue sauce, which is similar to a Carolina sauce, which is more of a tomato based that definitely has like some brown sugar, some molasses. I like a little sweet and savory, and I like it to be a little thick. And also, sauce is always secondary. Sauce, you should never smother it in sauce. The meat should always be good enough to eat without the sauce. The sauce is just a little bonus. I put it on the side. I'll dip it in there a little bit. Maybe put some on my fried okra. But sauce is definitely not.
Talk about what outfit the band's wearing.
Right? Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, to answer the question, I'm more of a, whether it be Carolina or Georgia, whatever you want to call it, more of a tomato-based molasses brown sugar type thing. Okay. But I do like the Northern Alabama white sauce, by the way, too, which is very.
It's a barbecue sauce? Is
very,
it like an Alfredo?
Yeah, very under the radar.
T-bone Alfredo?
Alabama white, or basically Northern Alabama. It comes from North Alabama. It's kind of a mayonnaise, horseradish type thing. And, not bad.
Well, that sounds gross.
Yeah, weird, but good.
There's one more food one, a good quick one.
There it is.
From, R, this probably spells something, but I don't know how the numbers thing. R3515T0R. What's this thing? Two good food questions, and then we'll go to a supernatural question. Shit, there's a lot of good food. This is a food podcast, Dave. This is a food.
Is it?
You want to talk about?
Which, by the way, are we going? I gotta give the ranch dressing recipe today.
You're gonna get this. This is a recipe episode.
Okay.
This is when you get a flexi album in a zine. This is a recipe episode, guys. So tough shit. You're gonna have to tune in. Three questions. I'm gonna ask all three, and which one? Oh, and our friend Emily Effler tuned in, but with the same question about barbecue.
Oh, Emily Effler.
She's saying, what regional style would you think would lend itself best? This is a question. If you were to barbecue a person, which regional style do you think would lend itself best?
Well, definitely a Southern man. Get that fat.
But what style barbecue? Like, would the style of barbecue have to suit the person from where it's from? Like, what if you had to barbecue somebody from the Northern Territories in Canada? There's no barbecue up there that I know of. Mm-hmm. What regional style would you use?
Oh, whoa.
For the meat, for human flesh, what barbecue would go best is what I think she's asking.
I still don't understand what barbecue would go best.
What style?
How would I cook it?
Yeah, what style barbecue?
Well, barbecue is only smoke and wood and fire. So regardless of region, it's all smoke and wood and fire. So I would slow roast it over wood.
Slow roast, not a smoke?
Well, smoke, yeah. Not slow roast.
You would smoke human flesh.
Barbecue is smoked meat, so yes. If you're asking,
not
how
directly
I
on a fire though.
Okay,
grilled.
So that's different. Or we're talking direct heat would be grilled. If we're talking barbecue, all it's right. Indirect smoke.
I'm just gonna go to another question, Dave. I'm just gonna go to a different question. This one.
I'm sorry.
Since we didn't answer a full.
I would
question.
I would slow smoke the person over hickory wood and put some Georgia barbecue sauce on the side.
I think that's the answer.
And I would eat their shoulder. I would eat the person's shoulder meat.
I always thought thigh.
I do love
meat.
A chicken thigh, but with a pig,
there's a lot of meat there.
Yeah, with a pig though, I'm going with the whole shoulder.
Okay. Like,
a lot of people think a lot of those shoulders are. The nickname is the Boston butt, and it's not the butt at all. It's actually the shoulder. So to answer your question, if you brought me a human being and forced me to eat him or her, I would eat the. I would break them down like I would butcher a chicken or a pig, and I would take that human being's shoulder and smoke it over hickory wood for 12 to 14 hours at about 225 degrees. Am I talking too loud?
Yeah, it's hitting the red on you. Got to realize, sorry, really. Push some buttons.
Yeah, we can edit that out.
No, this is all. You know, okay. We edit.
It's just a weird question.
Okay. No, well. We do a fucking podcast about ghosts.
That's true.
We can't get upset about a weird question.
But yeah.
All right, one more food one. There's a lot of good food one. Here's one more. Pizza chili served in a bread bowl for the crust. I have a basic framework recipe. Yes or no, how would you do it? That is from Martin Lien. At Martin Lien. MartinLien.
Say the first line again. Pizza what, sir?
Pizza chili served in a bread bowl for the crust. First, we got to go piece by piece. What's pizza chili?
Yeah, what do they mean chili? By pizza chili?
I'm going to guess.
Is there pepperoni in it? I like that.
You're the okay. Engineer behind
this. Well,
these
let's get into it. All
He's
right.
Asking, like, yes or no. I would say yes already, just because of the two words I like,
yeah, independently.
I'm on board with, I can make pizza chili. A little more oregano than normal.
Okay.
Add that oregano. Maybe instead of any type of ground sirloin, we're only sticking to pork products. We'll do some Italian sausage, and we'll do some pepperoni.
Okay. So, no Italian beef? Italian sausage wouldn't work in there?
Italian sausage, you know.
Okay.
And, and pepperoni. And a little more oregano. And the tomato component's about the same.
Isn't it pretty much like a very thick bolognese sauce if you're going to the chili end of it?
Yeah, it does sound like that, yeah.
Which I wouldn't argue with.
Yeah, and then we top it with some mozzarella and maybe a buffalo mozzarella.
Okay, all right.
And I like it. I like it.
Where are you going with veggies in it? Peppers, green peppers and onions?
Definitely green peppers and onions. And then if we're talking my chili, then those would be pureed. Well, the peppers would be pureed. Yeah. So, but for the sake of this,
chopped up.
For the sake of this, I would probably forego the puree and just do a nice dice.
You're pulling pieces of that bread bowl is the crust. You're pulling pieces. Like, what do you do for the bread bowl? It couldn't be a soup bread bowl. That's not pizza crust.
Mm-hmm. I think there's got to be some garlic and Parmesan involved in that bread bowl crust.
Can I say this? Uh-huh. Not knowing how to cook.
Uh-huh.
Could you theoretically press dough into a bowl, like around the whole thing?
To an actual bowl?
Yeah, and then bake it. Like, say, how, you know, like, what if you just had a pizza crust that's flat? What if you press that into a metal bowl and cook it in the oven that way? Butter the inside of the bowl, and so it comes out bullshit. Yay or nay? What's wrong with my thinking?
Well, we got raise issues. All right, yeah, that
so
bread's going to rise. Yeah.
It's a displacement issue with your tile, the same way people light their houses up with deep fried turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a displacement issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's going to rise the way a normal pizza crust would if it's molded into the shape of a bowl. I don't know that for a fact, but that's my suspicion.
I think we need to, I think we got to put the.
Mm-hmm. But I do like I like the idea. I think there's a way to make that. I think you just make a traditional bread bowl, but you do it Italian style. You know, you make it a little more, you know, put a little oregano, some Parmesan, some garlic
a
in there.
A little fontocchio.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a thing.
That's funny. Fake pizza, fake Italian ingredients.
My mom and her friends would just have fake names for Italian stuff, like balls were chanelones.
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 He's got no chanelones.
Yeah. Got hit in his little chanelones over there. And boobs were tananas.
Tananas. Huh. I've never heard that one.
Vaguely spit. Of course you didn't, because my mom and her weird friends made it up.
Tananas. Eh, what are you going to do?
Tananas.
Tananas. Tananas.
It's like bananas, but with like a Spanish A.
Oh, tananas.
Yep.
I got you.
So, okay, the bread bowl thing is where my question lies, but according to Dave, totally doable pizza chili. I think we could follow that up.
Hey, real quick. Speaking of chili, you never told me what you thought.
Well, your chili?
Yeah,
it was goddamn outstanding.
You just saying that?
Ridiculous.
You just saying that?
I didn't say it out loud. I didn't say Dave's chili recipe was fucking phenomenal.
Seriously, no, okay. I'm not. I'm not fishing for a compliment.
No.
Seriously, what did you think? Was it too anything?
No,
too spicy? Too whatever?
No, it was nothing too much. It almost reminded me vaguely of like a curry.
Yeah,
like
because that deep heat, that deep heat,
in the best way. Like it went beyond what chili could be.
Yes,
into like it had a Middle Eastern thing going to it, which I was all about.
Yeah,
I was all about
that umami.
Do you remember how you did that?
Oh yeah,
or was it just some sort of jazz masterpiece?
A little of both.
Yeah.
A little of both. There was definitely a foundation, a blueprint.
Did you get this one on wax?
But there, was definitely some jazz going on. But I was. I know I talk a lot of shit about food, but I was real proud of that. Like it was special. It was special.
It was special, and yeah. I agree with that.
Well, thank you. And I was not fishing for a compliment. No, I wanted your honest opinion.
Come on, Dave. We're friends here. All right. No, here's a couple good ones. Blake Lawson, 86. Hey, Boogie Monster, what's your favorite based on a true story horror movie? Which it also should go with Jimmy Dick Butter.
What's that?
That's Jimmy Dick Butter. That's at Jimmy Dick Butter. Which is the question under is, does your interest in the supernatural extend to horror movies? We'll knock these both out in the same one. I will say yes, absolutely love horror movies.
Dick Butter.
It's Jimmy.
Oh,
James.
Oh, Johnny Cockwaffles.
Mr. Dick Butter was my father. Call me Jimmy. I would say that the answer is yes. I love horror movies. I love.
What was the question? If the answer was yes, I'm sorry.
If,
I'm not paying attention.
No shit. What's your favorite? It's two questions. What's your favorite based on a true story horror movie? Like if you like horror movie, what's one? And that was the answer. So you answered the second one the way you should answer the first one. Dave, what's your favorite horror movie? Let's go.
We talked about that on the Halloween episode.
Did we?
I think so.
You remember that, but you couldn't remember the fucking thing I just read 30 seconds ago. All right, okay.
What was his first question that you said yes?
Dick Butter's question was, does your interest in the supernatural extend to horror movies?
Gotcha.
You already got that one covered. You said yes about six times.
No, I never said yes. You said yes.
Yes a lot of times.
No.
You didn't know what you were answering, but you said yes.
Okay.
Then the next one is from someone else named Blake Lawson 86, hardly a Jimmy Dick Butter. What's your favorite based on true story horror movie?
And we did talk about I'll answer
cover it.
Yeah, I don't expect him to listen to every dumb thing that comes out of our mouth.
You're right. Listen to the Halloween one. It's a couple weeks ago. We got a lot
you
of
don't okay. All right.
If you can answer it quick, what's
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And it's based on a true. That's right, we did cover it.
Yeah, apparently it is, but it's real loosely based.
Okay. Let's see.
Also, the remake scream, Jessica Biel.
Stories about strip clubs, massage parlors, or ladies in the night that you'd like to share? Just buy a fucking album that I've done, because there's something about that on all of them.
By the way, is your album still number one on iTunes?
No.
I almost said U-Tunes.
U-Tunes. Hey, I'm going to buy some records on U-Tunes.
Well, it was for like a whole week last week.
Here's one. Because you're high, I'll ask, can you tell the difference between indica and sativa? Do you think it is a marking tool? That's by Yeah Right Dude. Yeah Right Dude. You know what? That's a good question because I always thought it was. Like, are you being psychologically manipulated by the product? Like buying vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this going to make you... Dave just got the fucking vape pen as soon as you asked. Like, he's gonna do further research.
What a good idea.
Let me find out. You know what? I think that would be a good, like, how you can tell, like a sommelier. But I think if you get stoned off one, how are you going to tell what the other one does a half hour later? But no, more recently, whether it is psychological or maybe I'm old enough to want to succumb to the psychological element. Like, no, this one says indica and it's going to keep me at home and keep me mellow. So therefore, yes, it does that because I'm buying into it. Good question. Don't have a solid answer for you.
I mean, yeah, to be honest with you, I agree with what you just said. Like, it's, I feel this way because the guy kind of said I probably would. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's so weird being out here with a dispensary. It's just,
All of a sudden it turns you into like, I remember when I just got weed and I smoked that weed and I never knew what type of weed it was, and it shifted how I reacted to the same shitty weed somebody would buy.
Mm-hmm.
Not shitty, but not knowing where it's from and just Midwest, not like, oh, you go to the store and it's this, and this.
Yeah.
And it shifted from being, like, I love being high the most out of anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started smoking weed when I was 18. I loved being stoned, and I loved sitting with my buddies on some train tracks talking about aliens, just looking at stars like, there's got to be aliens. What's it like being laid? To the one day because I didn't lose my virginity later on in life. Tell me about being laid. To just having these open-ended roundtable discussions on some train tracks till the wee hours of the morning, being stoned out of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Still, some of my favorite memories to this day. I know it's very cliched suburban experience, but I fucking loved it. And so to get back to what we, like, I didn't know it, but then eventually I just got too paranoid to hang out with people. Now I go to a store, which makes it like, oh, it's okay if you're stoned because you bought it at a store. So the stigma of being high out in public isn't before, like, oh, man, people at this
I remember specifically a moment we were at Long John Silver's because they had wraps and they had these delicious chicken Caesar wraps. Ooh. At Long John Silver's. I'm talking like 97.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they were like $2 and they hit the spot. And we'd be stoned as shit. And the kids.
Fried fish? The battered fish?
No, we get the chicken. We did chicken there.
Okay. Too. But did they offer the battered fish wrap?
No, yeah, nobody was. Like, even though it was Long John Silver, and nobody wanted the fucking fish. You wanted hush puppies? You wanted chicken?
About that. Anyway. Put some hush puppies in there and wrap it up.
But then the staff looking at us like, you guys are fucking high. I'm like, oh, God, they know we got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. So thinking they'll call the cops. And now that's gone. Like, nobody's going to call the cops if you're stoned.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're being disruptive. Just like nobody, if you're drunk, you're drunk. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back off.
Yeah. So that made me more accept, like, oh, I'm stoned right now, but that's okay. Maybe mm-hmm. it took it being legal for me to enjoy it more.
Hmm.
That was a long story.
I understand.
Sorry. Let's do something mystical.
Okay.
Somebody.
Oh.
What is this?
Take
picture?
A quick. I thought you really wanted to do something mystical. That'd be a funny conversation starter.
If you want to get mystical.
Hey Dave, what are you doing today, man? You want to do something mystical?
Okay. Here's a good one. A lot of like what barbecue style. Do either of you have a Bigfoot story? That is one myth I think is most possible. That is from Nolan Brinkman.
Well, of course it's possible.
Dave,
it's fucking real.
Unadulterated Bigfoot support.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the want to believe category, but I have not seen anything that has gotten me like in the for sure category.
No, I understand. But yeah, do I have a Bigfoot story? Fuck. Dude, it's a story of my life. That's all I want to achieve in life is to answer that question.
Do you?
I want to know. I want to see.
I feel like I'm probably that way about like ghosts. Like mm-hmm. that's my longing to see. Mm-hmm.
That's literally my. There's nothing you could offer. A genie in a bottle could offer me more appealing than
really
that. Yeah, that's what I want to know. That's my life's purpose.
What would happen? What?
And I don't know why. It's so stupid. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's a thing that didn't exist, that people didn't think existed, that, oh, yeah, guess what? It exists. What? But, like, there's something, speaking of mystical, ooh, I'm turning a mirror. Yeah.
Show me what you're working with.
But, like, yeah, that's just something in my soul that just believes. And the longing, the wanting to know is not for my validation because I know the answer. Yeah. It's just, oh, okay, yeah, see, I'm not crazy. I'm not.
What? So what happens if it's proof? Like, okay, let's go back to, at this point, 2 weeks ago, 13 days ago, when Cubs won the World Series. I wonder if that kind of squashes hope and curiosity in the world. What happens when you find out Bigfoot is real? What does that do?
Cubs fans just saw Bigfoot.
Now your purpose and your motivation is satiated. What else do you do? This is a side note. And this is one of my complaints about the idea of heaven is when you offer paradise to everybody, well, then there's no pursuit. Like, I like the pursuit, even though I do like kicking back. You put human beings on this world, it's the pursuit. It's the desire to survive. And then once you can survive, it's the desire to mate and then provide for your mate and provide for your family. And once you do all that stuff,
it's all motivation to keep moving forward.
You die. Yeah, it's all motivation to keep, I mean, like, keep the human race going. But then this reward is you don't have to do that anymore. How do you deal with it? Like, that would be the exploded version of what happens when you find Bigfoot. Are you just like, ah, do you find something else to be curious about?
Now what?
Yeah. What? Like, all right, it's real.
It's a great question. Yeah, I think that would just automatically set in. Like, oh, because it's not even a why or how. It's just a yes or no, you know. And then once it's, oh, yes, okay, now what? Like, yeah, I don't know.
That's been coming up about the extraterrestrial life lately. Between the Podesta emails that came out, which were just people asking him. It was not him confirming.
Yeah.
but all this other stuff that's happening, like that's and like more scientists and astronomers are finding weird pings and signals out in the galaxy. Is that because the technology is getting very fast, so they're detecting more, the machinery is more sensitive, or is there like finally we can pick up these weird signals? What happens when society is like, oh, well, aliens are real? There was an article somewhere, like somebody speculated how the society would react. Like, oh, there would be like a huge drop off in people that believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, I'm not going to go to work anymore. Fucking aliens are real. Like, how it would, like, no matter what, cause the collapse of society, if they're even if they're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Just the proof of them could cause the collapse of society. Got heavy, bro.
No, that's so interesting. Like, God. And I feel like that would happen. Yeah, you can't just learn that that aliens are on this planet and then
go about
show up to your meeting at 3:30.
Yeah,
you know.
When are you going to get these reports in? I don't know. Maybe when you fucking hire an alien assistant for me.
Yeah. It's definitely going to change everything.
Coming in, just analyzing all comedy from around the world. Like, oh, what if Andy Kaufman could also write a Hedberg joke, but then bust out a Chris Angel trick? We're fucked. We're fucked. Let's go. What's your favorite cryptid? I think we answered that one. High on some weird shit or just weed and PBRs? Just weed and Coors Light, but good guess. Man alive.
For this is the longest my hair's been in years.
Okay.
Doesn't it look stupid?
Save that one for the next podcast. You can pull off. You can do a pompadour, man. I'm bald. Have hair.
I'm shaggy.
Have hair.
I'm shaggy, dude.
Oh, here's one that goes in what they're saying. Sup, I'm Terra. Pterodactyl 24. What celebrity will you put forward to be our spokesperson when aliens arrive? Also, do you like pickles? Second brother question. Absolutely.
Yes, we've talked a lot about pickles.
I will get angry if I see a dish at a diner, go back to the kitchen, and the pickle wedge is untouched.
I don't know.
I've confiscated them from abandoned plates before is how much I like pickles.
I don't know if I've met anybody who likes pickles more than you. You have pickle passion.
I got that fever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the one. Talk about culinary shit. You told me the homemade pickle trick.
Yeah, it didn't work. I put them in some pickle juice leftover pickle juice from pickles, previous pickles, put cucumbers in it. But make sure they're covered up by the juice. The brine.
Well, that should seem obvious. You didn't know that?
No, I just put them, I was turning them over every once in a while.
Oh, you got to submerge them completely.
Nah.
Ugh.
Well, I was turning them over once in a while. I got back, and then, like, the inch that was sticking out of juice was fucked. Like, had barnacles on it. I considered cutting it off and just eating the rest of them. I did take a tiny nibble out of one as I was throwing them out.
You know what
neighbors have seen me taste test stuff over the garbage can out in the driveway so many times. Like, wait, should I? Like kissing a kid goodbye.
You know what we're going to do, man?
Sad now.
Not to speak about our inside baseball, but at some point we'll probably do a Boogie Monster tour.
There's questions about that on the names, but that will be happening.
But I'm being serious. This isn't a joke or a bit. We should sell pickled eggs at our merch table on tour. Would people buy pickled eggs? I can make good pickled eggs. You love pickled eggs.
Well, that works out.
We should just sell food. I used to have a bit about that years ago. I did used to have a bit about years ago before I even had anything to sell when I was featuring. I would say, I don't have any CDs or T-shirts, but if you see me in the back, I got a nice selection of jams, jellies, and fried pies. And it was just a dumb joke, but like, three people a night would walk up and be like, "Hey, were you serious?"
I'm telling.
And it was a joke, but like, we should sell pickled eggs and maybe biscuits. I don't know.
I think
pickled eggs is easier because I don't have to prepare them.
I think a Dave Stone cookbook and/or jar of something.
Yeah, yeah. Barbecue sauce, chili.
You could prepare pickled things and then just travel with them.
Exactly. That's my point.
Refrigeration.
Yeah, biscuits wouldn't work. Anything I have to. I don't want to do a pop up again like I have done. But
pop ups around town here.
But anyway, my point was, Kyle. Yes, to pickles, And whether we sell them not or not as merch, I'm going to make us some pickled eggs soon.
Okay. How about the... Right. It's quiet. Clapped yourself.
No, I was clapping you. That was just great timing.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Okay.
I'm trying to read the question.
No, I appreciate you humoring me.
The whole first part of the question was, what celebrity would you put forward to be our spokesperson when the aliens arrive?
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Which human would you choose to represent the human race when aliens arrive?
Why not you?
No.
You go talk to them.
It's not a me or you.
No, I know, not me or you. But, like, I'm selecting you.
No, you need somebody... calm. It'd be like meeting Slash for me. I'd freak out if I'd be in a little while. That's a good question. Let's expand. Let's let celebrity be an umbrella that covers politicians, recording artists, movie stars, public figures.
Who would we want
to meet the aliens when they
their first contact with humans is this person. Hmm. Yeah, that is a great question.
I'd say Shania Twain. there's something about her. I'll tell you, Dave. You know why you just have some road trip songs that'll get you going and you don't even know why? And it's like, if I sing Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under just by myself in a rental car, I'll cry right away.
Huh.
It's nice. The lyrics aren't sad. It's the sonic progress. It's the sonic qualities of her voice, and that's why I would suggest her to be the person to speak to aliens, because the sonic qualities of her singing voice can elicit happy emotions in me, even though the words don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you would need to communicate to aliens. Not like they're not going to understand the words probably, but they can understand a tone coming out of a person as being peaceful and open and interested.
Interesting.
And holy fuck, did I back the truck up into that answer. I really didn't. I got to that one just by talking. But I think the dulcet tones.
I understand.
That's what you need as a living representative that sounds pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So Shania Twain. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, I don't know.
Putting myself in the alien shoes and going, oh my God, what sweet sounds. This representative of a species. That's where I'm at.
It's a great question. Huh.
You want a food question, Dave?
Sure.
Need an idea for a Thanksgiving side dish with a little extra pizzazz? Any suggestions from Justin Brook 405? I'll think of another human representative for aliens. What? The aliens are Thanksgiving, and the side dish is the representative of humans.
Hmm.
Who would you introduce to Thanksgiving as a side dish?
Oh, am I answering your question or his question?
I don't know anymore.
Your question, it would be fried okra.
I'm trying to mix the last question with this one.
Okay.
Who would you elect as a celebrity side dish when Thanksgiving arrives?
Well, it's fried okra. Like, if a side dish had to go talk to aliens and be the representative of all earthly side dishes.
Let's say you had to go to a Thanksgiving dinner anywhere in America, regional or anything.
Yeah.
Who would be the representative from you that you think would speak best to that? Still fried okra?
Yeah, yeah.
With a sauce?
No, not necessarily. If it's good enough, it doesn't need a sauce.
Talking to my dad a few weeks ago about sides, said okra, always wanted to like it, too slimy.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
What's the remedy for that?
Well, fried okra is rarely slimy. Your dad must be getting a hold of some stewed okra and tomatoes, stuff like that.
He's doing something wrong.
And no, stewed okra I love too, but I will admit stewed okra is very slimy. It's okra in a gumbo or any type of stewed. No, just when it's been simmering in a stew or something like that.
Okay.
It's definitely going to be slimy when you batter it, when you dredge it in flour and cornmeal and fry it in oil in a cast iron skillet, it's not slimy.
Okay.
It's fried, crispy goodness.
It's fried. It's giving a little bit, but it's still vegetable.
It's a vegetable.
Like, look, aliens, we kill other things that live here to eat.
It's got that fried...
Unless the aliens are part vegetable.
Yeah. It's got that obvious fried texture that is, you know, very addictive, but also you're biting into some nice green crunch, little snap, little green green veggie snap. And you're feels like, oh, good. Yeah, feels not texturally, eating, it feels good.
Flesh.
Yeah, no, it's fun. But to answer his question, I don't recommend a novice make fried okra for Thanksgiving for the first time, but a simple thing. What's his name? Who are we talking to right now?
I've already moved up.
Okay, but anyway, to answer his question, I would tell him to try his hand at a nice white cilantro potato salad.
White cilantro.
A white potato salad with cilantro. Not, okay, not
that's
that the
yeah,
that's I'm
the
sorry.
Stuff I needed to reel me back in.
Yeah. A lot of potato salad is mustard based.
I got a real problem with cilantro.
Yeah. A lot of people do, and I don't understand that.
Reaction where it just tastes like soap to them.
I've heard that a lot.
Did we talk about this before? That I had a cilantro incident?
No.
And
I'll give the recipe in a minute. Okay. But go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, I just to remind myself.
In Spanish class, and I think it was eighth grade or freshman year of high school, somebody's going to make a Spanish dish to bring into class. And so I just made salsa. But I was like, I guess it's probably just, if I get 5 tomatoes, probably 5 onions and 5 bushels of cilantro.
Bushels of cilantro.
I cilantroed the fuck out of it.
And well, no wonder you don't like cilantro.
I smelled like it. The house, my parents were pissed at me. Ruined cilantro for the whole family. I tell you, nobody wants to touch that shit. I still have a hard time with it. It still tastes like you just took my food and put it under some pumpable dish soap.
That's great. But understand pumpable this, Kyle. The fact that you overused the cilantro by 7,000%, that's not the cilantro's fault.
No, but...
That's your fault.
Now I can't even taste a little bit of it.
Okay. Well, if this guy doesn't have a... he's not averse to cilantro. real quick off the top of my head, a lot of potato salads... mustard-based, yellow, a lot of German style, Southern style.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I
vinegar's what style? That's German.
Yeah, German is definitely vinegar, but also with the, you know, sometimes with some mustard base. But anyway.
Creamy ones.
My point is, I like a white sauce. This kind of is connected to our recipe for today, the ranch. But anyway, right. We'll do that later. Real quick.
We got it. No, we're doing great, Dave.
The potato salad recipe. Boil up some potatoes. Chop them up. Boil them up like you would normal potato salad. You figure out how to make potato salad instead of mustard.
Boil up some potatoes.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how to make potato salad right now because I can't articulate it.
Boil up them potatoes.
But instead of mustard, use a 50-50 mix of mayonnaise and sour cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And chop up some cilantro. Throw that shit in there.
Go easy on it, everybody.
Yeah, a little cilantro, mayonnaise, sour cream
Take
mix.
Take heed.
Yeah, there you go.
Take heed.
Some raw onion, real finely diced raw onion.
Love that onion.
Maybe a little bit of sauteed garlic. But cilantro, garlic, onion, sour cream, mayonnaise. Try that out. Try that out instead of the old mustard and pickle relish.
Would you throw a thinly sliced jalapeno into potato salad?
I'm not opposed to that at all.
Like that when it's super thin, like what do they call it? Like a julienne?
Mm-hmm.
On the what's that called, the mandolin?
Mandolin, yeah. Maybe even a pickled jalapeno at that point.
I like that. Okay. Rob McCarty, my pal Rob McCarty, drummer from my band, the Grand Marquis, back in the day. Rob, a goddamn amazing drummer.
Wait a minute, that's your old drummer?
Yeah.
Your band was named Grand Marquis?
Yeah.
We've never talked about that.
Well, we were either called the Grand Marquis, plural, or the Grand Marquis, because it was named after the singer Marco and I would hang out at a Blockbuster Video where our friend Bob worked.
Uh-huh.
We both drove our parents' Grand Marquis there. But then we didn't know how to pluralize Grand Marquis, because it's Marquis. And so if you pluralize it, the correct pluralization makes it look like Grand Marquises. And so we were called the Grand Marquis plural, but just spelled it singularly.
Huh.
It's a real The Lone Rangers situation.
You played guitar, right?
Sure did.
How many, just off the top of your head, how many live
goddamn,
shows?
That ain't a goddamn tire iron sitting in the corner over there.
You do have a few nice guitars.
I have them. Does not mean I can play them.
Off the top of your head, how many live gigs y'all play? That's the Grand Marquis.
I think we were, I would say, active. Do you count house parties live gigs?
Yeah, whatever. Like some people say I was in a band, they played three shows.
No, I think
shows.
We probably did about 40.
That's cool. Right on, man.
Not good. It was fun. It was fun. Rob is Rob owns his own business now, and I think he lives back in the Chicagoland area. But he is asking, when it comes to fried chicken, how do you rank Mrs. Knott's chicken dinner? Have you ever heard of that? I don't know Mrs. Knott's chicken, but he also said she's dead, so we could talk about that too.
That's funny.
Thanks for the out, Rob.
I'm not very familiar with Mrs. Knott's. I think it's a frozen dinner.
Yeah.
I think it's like a Hungry Man frozen dinner style. And I don't fuck with that shit.
More feminine version of Hungry Man.
Yeah. I don't mess with frozen dinners, man. It's total garbage. I'd rather, I don't know.
Thumbs down to Don's wife's chicken dinner.
I mean, if that's what I'm thinking of.
Mr. Limpet joke for all the listeners 60 years of age or older.
And if it's not that, I don't know what it is.
I don't think.
So I can't comment.
Who's making Mr. Limpet jokes on the podcast on the U-Tunes?
Who's Mr. Limpet?
I think it was when Don Knotts played a talking fish.
Ooh. Man, I love Don Knotts.
Good one.
He's from Morgantown, West Virginia, Kyle.
Don Knotts is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. Does he say that? I threw my shoulders into that.
No, that's Gomer Pyle.
Well, fucking
boy. Is it boy, oh boy, or man, oh man?
Don't. I already fucked it up.
Shazams. That's what it is.
No, that's what the thing that shows up in the Flintstones says.
No, Gomer Pyle said Shazams.
Gomer Pyle said Shazams. All right,
exploited a mentally challenged guy for one of their secondary characters.
That's what they do. How about, okay, here's a good one. Here's Clint Osborne 555 asks, do you believe in shadow men? I've had three unexplained encounters that make me question their existence.
Ooh.
I'm going to go ahead and just ask.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we need more info on this. I've been thinking about shadow men a lot lately, Kyle.
What's our email again?
Boogie Monster Podcast. Not the, just Boogie Monster Podcast at Gmail. And then it's .com, C-O-M.
That's how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
I just tweeted at this dude to say, like, what is it? Are the shadow men the men in black?
They can be.
Gear me up.
Okay. A lot of people think that they are. We haven't talked about this yet, but, you know, I'm constantly researching.
You're the researcher. You're the brains of the operation.
So pretty soon we'll probably talk about the black-eyed children. I've been thinking about them a lot.
Black-eyed P's been fucking around on tour.
And black-eyed children, men in black, shadow men, shadow people.
All part of the same kind of theory?
Yeah, they all work for the same conglomerate. So, okay. I feel like they're all connected. And yes, there have been several, obviously there's been a lot of, I'm moving your
That's
microphone,
my microphone
by the,
too.
My bad. A lot of sightings of the men in black, and we talked about that. And we're going to talk about it some more, by the way. Just because we cover a topic once doesn't mean we're not very thorough on these. So we're going to come back to them. So we're going to talk more about the men in black in the future. But a lot of sightings of them, a lot of sightings of these weird little black-eyed children. And then, and the ones that are kind of unidentifiable fall under that shadow people.
Like, the black-eyed children kind of do the same thing as the men in black, like ask strange questions of people.
Yeah, they seem very non-human.
Yeah.
They're asking weird, arbitrary questions. Unlike the men in black, it's always connected to some sort of like hush. You're like, hey, you didn't see the thing you thought you saw, so stop talking about it. Black-eyed children never refer to anything like that.
This was almost going to be our subject tonight until we went to the questions from the internet.
Anyway, my point is, not to go down that rabbit hole right now, but shadow people, it is what it sounds like. People see something in the dark, in their peripheral, and it's just a shadow. It's just like as if there really was a person there that just – but knowing that, like, okay, there shouldn't be anybody here. What did I just see? They can't quite identify it as a man in black or a black-eyed child. But, yeah, there's a lot of cases of that, of, like, people just seeing, like, what was that?
All right. Well, Clint, email us what specifically you're talking about, because my knee-jerk reactions right now, like,
Yeah, everybody sees something. Light plays tricks. Everybody has something. But I also understand when you're like, nope, this was beyond that.
Exactly, because it's all degrees. Like, you, the light plays tricks is a fraction of a second of you seeing something. But a shadow person is like 3 seconds of you seeing something. You know what I'm saying? You're, okay. You're processing much more information to where you know it's not just this or that, but yeah. Like, wait a minute, yeah. What is that?
That's like when I try to explain sleep – goddamn.
Sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis. And be like, yeah, you had a nightmare. I'm like, no, it's real. Like, mm-hmm. But we always feel like, no, I know I'm in my bed. I remember going to bed. You're not asleep yet, and stuff's happening. Yeah. So I wonder if it's like a waking moment of that type.
Yeah.
Because sleep paralysis is like, no, I know my shoes are there. I'm laying in my bed. I just got into bed 5 minutes ago, but also there's a creature in the corner, like gargoyle holding onto the corner of the room growling. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there's a waking instance of that.
Yeah, very well.
Do you
could
see
be.
These things when you're at rest or when you're moving around? You know, that could have something to it.
So yeah, we need more info on that. I want to hear what three encounters he's talking about.
Oh, Kyle Firebaugh. Kyle Firebaugh. Get some. One condiment for the rest of your life. What'll it be?
One condiment?
Yeah. Good one. Good one. Can I guess for you? You guess for me?
Oh, that's great. Condiment.
Condiment.
Now, meaning a sauce.
Food topping.
Well, that could be pickle relish, or that could be raw onion. I think.
Is relish a sauce or a salad?
No, it may not be a sauce, but it's a condiment.
I'm just asking science. Is relish a liquid or a solid or a viscous? Or is that an unfair rating system because all things are all things given temperature and atmosphere? I sounded so fucking smart when I said that.
That's pretty good, buddy.
How smart did I sound right there?
That's pretty good.
I don't remember what I said. Anyway, Dave, I'm going to say... Atlanta barbecue sauce.
Okay.
One condiment for the rest of your life. You got to put it on any food you'd eat ever again if you want a condiment. I would say that.
Okay.
Non-sauce, I'm going to give Dave. If it's not a sauce and it's anything you could put on a... Oh, shit.
See, there's a difference between condiment and a topping.
Condiment.
A slice of tomato is a topping.
Yes. Okay. Then something.
But it's not
something that could be in a squeeze bottle.
There you go.
Bingo. So I'm going to say barbecue sauce for you.
Okay.
What do you say for me?
I have to go with a mustard.
It'd be a miracle if you guessed this right.
Would it?
Let me just say again. It'd be a miracle.
I knew it before you even gave me the hint, the pun.
Then why'd you say mustard?
I mean, right when I said mustard, I thought, I always forget how much you love Miracle Whip.
I could love that shit. I love it.
And yes, you are correct.
About barbecue?
Yes. Yeah. A really good barbecue sauce. Here's the thing. All right. Let me get into this real quick,
Here's
Kyle.
Here's the thing.
I think I just got through talking about how barbecue sauce isn't that important to barbecue. And that is correct.
Yeah.
I want... a smoked pork shoulder, so good, smoked so properly, seasoned so properly, so good that I don't need some sauce. That being said, barbecue sauce, really good barbecue sauce, is wonderful.
Can make anything
so
barbecue.
So putting it on other things, like dipping French fries in it, or fried okra, or putting it on a hamburger bun. Before the hamburger, like, oh, barbecue's good.
You're going
good,
into some Orson Welles shit on the mic right now.
A
I
good
say,
barbecue
Dave,
sauce.
It's good. It's like.
I get excited. I know I say this a lot. I make a great barbecue sauce. I've spent years working on a barbecue sauce. And I think that in the barbecue community, I don't think people really talked about this. A lot of people say, hey, barbecue sauce, if you're good meat, it's good. No. Yes, correct. You're right. You don't need barbecue sauce. But. Put it on some other shit, dude.
But okay, I can't believe I didn't bring this up in the previous episode. Speaking of which people almost caught on to, but I didn't want to make a fucking meme or anything. Speaking of which, our side podcast about sandwiches, mm-hmm. we didn't discuss your roasted peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Uh-huh.
But now you got one condiment for the rest of life. Now, I don't know if this says you have to put it on everything you eat, or uh-huh. you can be selective. Would you put barbecue sauce on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or maybe just a peanut butter sandwich, or maybe just a jelly sandwich?
Off the top
could
of my head.
Could that work? Could that work?
I think the only way it could work is a very conservative dosage on a peanut butter sandwich.
Just a little tang in the peanut
just
butter.
Just a little bit.
Tangy peanut butter is not a thing. Mm-mm. But hot peanuts, boiled hot peanuts mm-hmm. are.
Yeah, there you go.
Not too far away from each other.
Cajun boiled peanut butter.
You know what? We should edit that out so somebody doesn't steal it. I fully agree.
You see it?
Mm. Spicy peanut butter.
Spicy peanut butter.
You're changing the peanut butter game. You're taking something that should be a sweet, like a buddy up with something sweet, and now you're saying no. That's what goes on a burger.
God damn.
Sweet peanut butter is always traditionally sweet, though. You got to mm-hmm. get that out of people's brains.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to ask, could you put barbecue sauce with eggs?
Absolutely.
That's the thing there, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can do all kind of shit with it, man. You can put it on ice cream sundae.
That had... So we got there.
Hmm.
We're over an hour.
That's okay. This is special. Who cares if we're over an hour? Who cares? I want to talk about the real issues.
I'm stoned out of my mind.
Shut up, Dave.
You're telling me to shut up.
No, me.
This is, theoretically, people might not even hear this because it's the week after the election and there could be chaos in the fucking streets.
That's true.
How about this for a weird moment? Speaking from people who are, theoretically, you're listening to after the election but don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So... What do you think's happening out in the world right now? What do you predict the future?
Jeez.
Predict the future right now.
I think
this what a weird thing. We could say what's happening in 8 days.
That's true. That's 11:50. Oh man, this is talk about time travel.
Without jinxing it. No, now we're just rolling dice. Now we're just gambling. I think Hillary won, but I think it was close. I think it was tense.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be some weird Trump. I don't know if Trump will concede. It's not like he owns some.
I never understood.
But giving a concession speech, yeah. You know?
I never understood the concede. Well, concede or not, we're moving on without you, asshole.
Well, it was another thing that I read recently about how it's a display of civility.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing the American people, like, all right, this has been heated, and we've taken sides, and we've probably argued with one another, strangers and family and friends. But look, I lost. I give this away. That was the thing I was reading. It was that Al Gore's speech. It was one of the most important political speeches. It was an opinion. But that is one of the most – when he lost to Bush
mm-hmm. –
and it had to go to the Supreme Court for them to finally say, no, he won it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was him.
How long did that take, by the way? I was thinking about that the other day.
Oh, I don't know.
From election day to the day that they were it's official.
It was a day. It wasn't long. It was not a long time.
Well,
I felt like it was
a week.
Was it?
I feel like it was.
All right. That's for the fact checkers. I don't remember offhand. But it was him saying, I don't agree with it, but this is the Supreme Court, and we have to respect that power as such. And they've made this decision, so therefore I agree with it. Belched that one a lot. And that was an important speech because he was demonstrating, no, these are still civil things. We're civilized people, and we don't get out of hand mm-hmm. over this stuff. We've differed, but that's what makes this country great, is that we can still come back from having differing opinions but still function as a country. It's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, especially now when Trump's just threatening – you know, it's rigged. If I lose, it's rigged.
Yeah.
It's like heads I win, tails you lose. It's the stupidest fucking argument. But
I hope. Oh, here's all I hope.
I don't think it's
going
to go crazy.
A week later, I just. Either way, I hope it's not a news story. I hope people are cool about it.
Do you think they it'll be a news story no matter what, but...
A week later, I hope there's not like, holy shit, look what happened today.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think really the higher-ups would allow... I think if there was an eruption of, like, society erupted over something, it would be because some NWO-type scenario wants it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They need upheaval. They need unrest. So they can go operating with the distractions, with the unrest in the streets. That's what I could see happening. Huh. If we're going with the conspiratorial element of what we always like talking about.
Yeah.
If there's riots in the streets, it's because it's allowed to happen. Otherwise, anybody in charge would pull Trump over and be like, you are the puppet. You say this now.
I mean, that's what people, and I mentioned this on the last episode, but people have been hinting at. It's like, man, regardless of who wins, some shit's going down. Some shit's changing. And I know shit's changing, and we touched on that, you know, in a social sense, in a either hopefully progressive, not a regressive sense, but like,
yeah.
I don't know. Some people have been talking like, no, like there's going to be some crazy shit going on. And I'm like, what do you mean?
It's going to be armed some militias.
Civil unrest.
Yeah. Armed militias or unarmed protesters who get treated with police action more than armed militias do, apparently.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not that. I hope Hillary wins. I hope Trump understands the idea of this is where I'm already now getting scared. I hope he understands the idea of a civilized society and gives a concession speech like, I did lose. Like, don't incite more shit out of his followers that are upset that he lost.
Yeah.
Like, dude, we worked hard. We still know we believe in what we believe in, but this is how America works.
Mm-hmm.
But that hasn't been his racket the whole time. It's like, no, America's fucking broken, and it should be like this. I don't know where. It's somewhere online where they can line up all his actions with Hitler's actions. Not that he's Hitler, but like threatening to jail your political opponents, making journalism the enemy, making which also, I mean, I can almost side with some of the journalism shit. When you like be truly analytical, and you see that most journalism leans left,
mm-hmm.
and Fox News leans right so far that it's comical.
Mm-hmm. But although, by the way, you do hear that a lot, and I'm not saying you're wrong. That people talking about journalism and the media as a more general sense, the media is left. But I know this is just
too.
And I know this is just a subset of the media, but then why is every political talk show conservative on the radio? When I travel a lot, last week I was traveling. I love listening, just scanning the dial of AM radio, because sometimes you get weird little local channels, some weird stuff. But then I just like hearing what's on the AM dial, and any political talk show is conservative. So how is that doesn't count for anything when people talk about the liberal media?
Because how much is talk shows on the radio still worth? And also, it's more grassroots. I mean, those fucking guys like Alex Jones and still Hannity the media. And stuff. Exactly. It's not all of it. There's still segments of it mm-hmm. that are right wing. When radio is just not something.
But like that most liberal of radio people, is conservative.
I mean, NPR I would say is liberal.
NPR is. What else?
I don't know. I don't know all the radio. I didn't know the radio.
I know, but I could.
But you know what?
Talk radio is conservative.
There's another thing I heard. Like that's why right wing could be so effective is because they understand grassroots, mm-hmm. and radio's way more grassroots than a cable news network.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
radio
is
like this is our county and this and stuff. And who's listening to that? The old fucking farmers and people that live in that area still listen to that stuff.
But Rush Limbaugh is still reaching millions of people.
Yeah, and like, reverends, television reverends, still preaching about that shit.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's a good point. I hope that there's civility when people are listening to this.
I hope we're not hiding in the mountains.
I think there'll be a depression that sets upon a great part of the population.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
Yeah, either side. So much energy is expelled.
Least popular candidates in presidential history. But like, does that go with social media and more exposure for everybody? Or what?
It's true. Interesting. But like, think about the concept of like the day after. Like for what, 18 months? How long they've been?
Day after happened.
But the day after the election, my point is the people who are really on one side or the other, whether it be Hillary's supporters, like real hardcore supporters, or Trump's hardcore supporters, these people, they've been obsessing over this day for, what, 18 months?
Yeah, this is the Super Bowl.
Like,
this is the Super Bowl that they think God will win.
And now half of those people are real bummed out. And the other half's victorious.
But also not totally happy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I have a friend I grew up with that type. And this was months ago, though, before a lot of shit came out. He's like, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Trump. Lives in middle America as a family. Not exposed to big city issues. That's what you don't realize. So many people are not exposed to big city issues.
That's
a
great point.
Civil rights are civil rights, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got somebody that lives in a small town. They don't understand the concept of a transsexual person. I live in Los Angeles and work in entertainment. Yeah. Oh, you don't agree with that. That you know soulfully you're something else. Go for it. You don't hurt me.
Yeah.
And right on. So I can see how that's confusing just as much as I don't know what my state tax is. I don't know what my city taxes. I don't know any of that.
But that guy,
my friend, knows
exactly.
If he votes one way, how much percentage his tax is going to go up. So same issue for him, and you can see why that leads. Like, be open minded about it. You can see why that goes back to that.
That's a great point, man.
So it's So bigger ideas can scare those people, and we're ignorant of the smaller thing, the smaller effects, until a year from now, we're like, fuck, I paid 20% tax on this bullshit? How the fuck did that happen? That's a ripoff. It's like, no, you voted for it. You chose that.
I mean, that's the concept of a single-issue voter.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yes, you're very passionate about that issue and your candidate, you know, that favors your interest. But on my issue over here that I care about, my candidate favors that issue. So, I mean, that's politics, Kyle.
Buddy.
What else we got?
I think we got a lot of answers out there.
One more. Let's do one more.
One more. All right. This is a good one from Fight Enthusiast at FatDork82. What a contrary.
What a fucking asshole.
Contrary name versus handle. It says, what begins y'all's? He used Y apostrophe. What began y'all's interest in the supernatural, also crispy or chewy bacon? These fuckers with their double questions.
Give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
I will start by saying a chewy bacon, so much so I gave myself food poisoning when I first visited New York, and my buddy Joe and I, he was just living with his wife at this time, he just got married, and we're like, we're just for some reason drunk and everyone. Oh, fucking chewy bacon's the best, dude. Like, the chewier the better. Like, maybe like pull it apart like exercise bands. Like, that's what I want. So the next day he's up making breakfast. He's like, watch this. And he just slapped it for a second on each side. And we went at it like sashimi. And his wife, while we're doing it, is like, you're not supposed to eat bacon like that.
No.
No, it's the best. And then we proceeded to get on a subway for the whole day and then learn every stop of a subway. When we just shit ourselves every time we can get off a subway in New York.
Wow.
That's how much I like chewy bacon.
Yeah, dude. Like, literally, how long did he cook it on each side?
It was one of those things where, like, but he cooked it and was like, that was a lot, but like a little game of chicken.
20 seconds on each side?
Something where, like, what's the rubberiest chicken you've ever had?
Oh, like undercooked? Well, I mean, in what form?
Like, it changed colors. Like, it wasn't the bra color.
Uh-huh.
But that was about it.
Okay.
Like, it changed colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And only parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some pretty undercooked bacon.
And we were so proud of ourselves. Like, this is the best way to eat bacon.
Wow.
And then whatever train line just, like, do you have to get out? Like, not quite real. Like, still too dumb. Like, man, why am I don't feel good either. Like,
Oh, maybe because we ate raw bacon 6 hours ago, and now we're shitting our way up and down Manhattan.
Wow. But yes, I'm chewy bacon all the way, baby. Mm-hmm. I love the chewy. I just love the chewy bacon because then you get that fat, that chewy fat of
word.
The bacon. Get out of town.
Dog, word.
Get out of here. Like crispy, like, I don't dislike crispy bacon, but people who put too much emphasis on that, it's like, oh, you clearly don't know what the hell you're talking about.
It's like overdone steak.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's pork and it should be cooked properly.
Yeah, no, I like it chewy, man. You know, I mean, I don't want it raw, but yeah, it should be chewy. It shouldn't be brittle. I don't like brittle bacon.
No, no. That's for bacon bits.
True.
If I want bits, I'll get bits. But when I order bacon, give me a slice.
What was his first question?
What began y'all's interest in the supernatural? That's a good question.
I think we talked about it on the inaugural episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can recap that if you want, real quick.
So, think of a different early thing. What early on?
Well, I have been obsessed with Bigfoot since the third grade when I read a Choose Your Own Adventure book about Bigfoot. And that was my first exposure to Bigfoot. And I was like, wait, what? Who is this creature? And I guess with those, you know what books I'm talking about? That
series? Choose Your Own Adventure.
So there was, what, five or six different
Indians?
Before
you had your RPG Vidya games,
mm-hmm.
you had a book that you would get to the end of a chapter and it would say, would you like to do this or this? Turn to this page or this page.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you die and sometimes you have 30 more pages.
Yep.
Those are great.
Yeah. I loved them. And I got a hold of
it. I guess I'll read it again and choose the other things I chose.
By the way, man, I want to find that book. I want to find it on Amazon or something.
I bet those are out. I bet those stuck around. Like people have those collections. People hang on to those.
But literally, I can pinpoint. That's where the interest started, and I was completely fascinated about the concept of a creature that lives in the woods that is not recognized as normal.
I would say that books were the same thing. Like third grade, I remember the library my grade school had. You know, it's a grade school library. That's not Dewey Decimal System. It's like, here's fucking these books. Here's those books.
Yeah.
And there was some section with just all it was Dracula, Bigfoot, ghosts. And as much as they should have been for children, because it was a grade school, I still remember reading stuff about it's the blue papers or something, the blue book, some major, these are just, you just got books. This is a grade school, so you just threw books in front of kids, thinking, you're not going to read these. So, but here, let's make the library look full. And so I was reading all these conspiratorial books in the third grade, not understanding any of the words, but getting into them. And so, that's how I got into it.
Yeah,
It was the school library.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on out, when you keep learning about imagination, you know, you're already a little kid, and you're going to be like, oh, we're going to play Cowboys and Indians. Let's play ghosts. Let's just play ghosts, which meant kids aren't against each other. It's like, let's just turn all the lights off and scare ourselves. That was more exciting than a Cowboys and Indians or playing army type thing.
Yeah.
Was like, let's just creep ourselves out.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
And I definitely had a lot of that too. Like that had an impact on me as well, the ghost angle as a young child.
Scary movies and doing creepy nighttime stuff too. Ghost in the Graveyard. How'd that game work?
I don't remember.
You had to yell, everybody ran, one person was, and everybody ran and hid, and then that person would find someone, and then there was two of them searching out everybody. So every person they found, it was hide and seek,
but
your numbers would multiply.
Yes.
What, wasn't that it?
I believe so.
But I remember one time, and it was a 4th of July or something, and there was, the way I'm remembering it was there was 30 kids playing. And taken up four or five blocks of a suburb. So you're just in the middle of the street with streetlights on, walking around at night.
That's awesome. A big communal thing like that?
Yeah, and so many, and the fact that you're just trespassing, you're just hiding in people's bushes and trying to get on people's roofs and stuff.
It was the only time that was allowed.
It still wasn't allowed, but nowadays you'd be shot.
Halloween and 4th of July was the only time as a young child I was allowed to just rampage around the neighborhood.
Yeah. Or it was a numbers thing. Mm-hmm. Like even this would be like a Labor Day or somebody's birthday party. But if there's enough kids where the parents are like, they'll look after each other.
Exactly.
It's not like five of them.
Yeah.
They'll all look after each other. Yeah. Somebody, and then
That's really cool when that happened. So how often would that happen? How often would you play those games?
It was, it would be like the one big event of the summer if you were in fourth grade.
That's cool as shit.
You'd be in somebody else's neighborhood. It's like, oh, we're going to dad's work friend for a barbecue. And like, oh, man, this is going to suck and I'm shy. But it takes one. We're like, what if we all just play Ghost in the Graveyard? And I was like, oh, we're all hiding together. And you instantly, that just child camaraderie thing.
Yes.
And if it was called anything else.
Alliances.
Yeah. If it was called anything else, it wouldn't be scary. I could see why kids got in Dungeons and Dragons because it was a game, but then they're talking about wizards and spells, so that carries on. I played a game called Ghost in the Graveyard, and it's amazing. Like, there's a ghost in the graveyard, and then you're the ghost, and we're in a graveyard. And just that terminology about it made me be like, ooh, it's like, because it's spooky, because it's ghosts.
Yeah.
I attached onto the name of it. The same way other kids, like a sports thing. I don't know. But I love that. You saw how excited I got. Like, that shit, what a great feeling. 30 kids just being nuts.
The simple concept of hide and seek. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
My version of that, I remember playing Ghost in the Graveyard once or twice, but it wasn't a staple in my childhood shenanigans. I grew up in a church, not like literally, but like that's what Southern Baptists call it. Did you grow up in the church? You're a Christian boy.
Yeah.
I grew up in the church.
Familiar with the Lord.
Constantly going to church. But three times a year, we'd have like a lock-in, a church lock-in, where you just spent the night at the church, and there's 47 kids. And I feel like every lock-in, we'd play hide-and-seek in the giant church.
Oh, it's like a building you're not normally in
exactly,
at night?
Exactly, you're not at home. You don't have that home field advantage. There's this sense of adventure and danger and excitement of being on foreign ground.
Exploring. It's an exploring element, which that would play into the Bigfoot thing. It would play into going to buildings looking for ghosts.
Yes. I'm learning a lot about myself.
Thank you.
I've never thought of that.
Thank you,
but
fat dork 82.
I just had a revelation. But I loved any type of communal hide and seek type game because it was just so against the norm. Like, oh, I only come to this building to do the boring thing I don't give a shit about on Sunday morning. Now it's Wednesday night, and I'm staying. It's 11:30 p.m.
Not even supposed to be people in here right
exactly,
now.
Exactly. Oh, that was so much fun.
That was a great question. That was a great fucking question. Shit, man. I got to bring it in.
All right. Reel it in.
You want to tease him with that ranch dressing? All right, you want to keep it? I think let it go.
No.
No,
that's mean.
No, it's not. You know how many between the two of us? You know what hurts my heart when I got to copy and paste that fucking biscuit recipe and I had nothing to do with it?
I'm going to give it out on the air. We're not going to take emails for it.
That's all the emails is just biscuit recipes. No, and I'm here like, oh, you don't? Okay, nothing about the new record, huh?
People
all
right. have been asking.
It's cool.
Just had my third Comedy Central special. Big deal.
No, nothing about... How about me?
That is so true, by the way.
Don't even ask how I'm doing. I'm answering the fucking messages. And nobody's even like, hey, Kyle, I hope things are great. Anyway, how's things? I love that biscuit recipe.
Oh. Well, it makes up for the first 2 months of the podcast where every email was, hey, Kyle, parentheses, sorry, Dave, I've never heard of you.
Touché.
But you seem cool.
Touché. I said touche.
We can't just keep teasing it. We got to give it out. That's mean.
It's only been 2 weeks.
I know, but it goes against broadcasting ethics.
Fucking yeah, because we've been holding on to that.
Do you want me to wait, sit on it, or I mean, I can give it out in 60 seconds.
Give it where? Okay, they can dole it out and then promote where you're going to be after November 15th. Go.
Go.
Ranch dressing. Easiest thing in the world to make, homemade. Don't
go. No, first instruction, go buy some ranch dressing.
No, do not go buy some ranch dressing. All right, I'll make a – if you have to buy it, get the cold shit in the produce section, yeah, not make the sure bottled
you only get,
shit.
Make sure you only get one salad before it all goes bad.
Ugh. Anyway.
I buy that, and it's a whole thing goes bad.
Really?
Ranch dressing from the cold, the refrigerated section – goes bad the minute it leaves a lot.
No, it's good. Like, what, it lasts a month?
Like a new car.
It'll last a month. All right. Eat some salad.
I'm eating up your 60 seconds.
All right. Don't make it, though. I mean, don't make it. Don't buy it. Make it. It's so simple. I'm not even going to give you measurements. Equal parts mayonnaise and sour cream, whatever it is. Whatever the amount is, equal parts mayonnaise, sour cream. A couple splashes of red wine vinegar.
Okay.
A little bit of milk. Just, you know, I don't know. Quarter cup. Who gives a shit? Little salt, little fresh black pepper, the grindy kind. Get the ground, grind that shit. Salt, pepper, and then from that point, it's jazz. If you want to throw a little smoked paprika, if you want to throw a little cayenne, if you want to throw some oregano, Italian seasoning, celery salt, maybe a little cumin. But anyway, your base is mayonnaise, sour cream, a little bit of milk, a little bit of red wine vinegar. And salt and pepper, and then add a few spices. A little, maybe a shot of hot sauce.
No.
Make your own ranch dressing. It starts with equal parts ranch and sour cream, and then just explore.
From there on out, that's the foundation.
Yep.
Go and put whatever kind of shingles you want on that ranch. Fuck, I'm good at this.
That's pretty good.
All right, part two to the biscuit recipe, the ranch dressing recipe, and Rachel's calling me, so we need to be done.
Did you plug anything?
Oh. What do you got coming up after November 15th?
Dave Stone's Holly Jolly Tour, December and January. I'll be all over the Southeast. Be doing Louisiana, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever. Holly Jolly Christmas, DaveStoneStandUp.com. I got the details.
Dropping stuff and farting over here.
That was, that's funny. You dropped your phone and farted within a half second of one another.
Oh, it's all falling apart.
It happens. That's how they get you.
All right, so go see Dave on a Holly Jolly tour. And if you're listening to this on Tuesday the 15th, that evening I'll be in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm going to be on tour with the Falcon through Providence, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Hamilton, Ontario, Lansing, Michigan, Northside Yacht Club in Cincinnati, Columbus, Ohio, and the Metro back the Wednesday before Thanksgiving if you don't listen to the next episode. That's where I will be on Look Up Tour the Falcon. Fuck yeah. All right. Dave has one more thing.
Comic of the week.
Comic of the week. Maybe we don't. You're the comic of the week, listener. Listener, right. Good for you.
Let me think. Comic of the week. How about my good buddy Joe Zimmerman? Joe Zimmerman. You know Joe.
Did we boost Joe before? We did Andy. We've done Andy. Great.
Joe was in the Beard to Comedy with me. Some people may know years ago.
Joe has a joke about you being into Bigfoot, which ties in with this.
Exactly. Look, wonderful. There you go. Look up Joe's. He did a half hour. I think it was on the half hour. He's done Conan. He's done Ferguson. He's done a half hour. But yeah, he's got a joke about his friend Dave who believes in Bigfoot. But it's a little condescending. It's a little condescending, Joe. There's more to it than your premise,
trying
Joe.
To say funny wrong.
Yeah, there's Joe. Joe thinks he's a real Weisenheimer. But look up Joe Zimmerman. Very funny dudes in the Beards of Comedy with me and Andy Sanford and TJ Young. And but
get through it.
Joe's real funny, and you should look up Joe Zimmerman. That's our comic of the week.
And we go. We got it out there. We got promos. That was like an hour and a half episode. We might not even have to do one next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you just ending it now?
The Boogie Monster.